This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Thank you very much. I was hoping it'd be big, and I even heard from this section that has the fewest people, so thank you for that. Appreciate that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to we're going to be going to 1 Kings chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I want to read today's scripture reading, which is out of Proverbs 3, verse 13 through 18. In Proverbs 3, 13 through 18 says, "Happy is a man who finds wisdom." Man, we could just stop right there and do a whole sermon on that. But happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Let's bow our heads in prayer. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. May the words of my mouth and meditation to my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. So those of you that do the Facebook thing, you probably saw my son Austin graduated basic training. We are so thankful for that. And we got to see Austin the last couple days, Thursday and Friday. I thought, man, how great is the father's love for his son. And how great is a son's love for his father. And I thought, man, as huge as my heart felt, and as good as it felt for him to say, "I missed you, and I missed seeing you, and I missed hearing your voice." You have no idea how much I missed hearing your voice. I thought, man, our Father in heaven says that about us. And it's those times that I walked up and I said, "Son, I'm so proud of you. Did you ever want to quit?" "Oh, yeah. Looking for ways to quit and get out." And I thought, sometimes do we do that as members of the Lord's army? "Man, God, how can I get out of this?" "Oh, I can be tired. I'm going to sleep on Sundays. How can we get out of this?" But I looked and I said, "I'm so proud of you." And remember in God's word, He says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Those of you that have been around several years, I baptized my son up there and did the same thing. Choked up telling him the same thing as I baptized him. And that's what God said when Jesus was baptized. "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Your grandson was there. Thank you. Sebastian came down to see him. What a blessing to Austin that was, and to us. And Austin said, "Thank the church for their cards, their letters, their prayers, their blessings." Now he's off to his AIT in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, for about the same amount of time. I said, "Man, time has never moved so slow for me." Even the day before, "Good grief, Lord, how long does 24 hours take?" He said, "It takes 24 hours. And I thought, man, our Father in heaven looks on us and says, "Man, don't quit on me. You see, I'm here for the tough stuff. And at times I've got to break you. You see, I've got to break you of those worldly things you do." But in the Proverbs we just read, he says, "Man, we want wisdom. These please a man, and this pleases God when we have that wisdom and that understanding." Now let's read in 1 Kings chapter 3. And it says, "Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days." Verse 3. "And Solomon loved the Lord walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went down to Gibeon and sacrificed there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." And then in verse 14, he gives it a little more clarification. "So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Man, that's quite the dream. And even God said, "Man, you didn't ask for those personal things." Now, today's message I'm looking at, and it's wisdom and humility. And we want to learn, how do we gain that wisdom? So I want to look at knowledge versus wisdom. And knowledge is about facts. You know, what are the facts of this? The truth. Give me this. Give me the ideas that you have. That's knowledge as well. But it's acquired through doing what? Well, as we sit and read, as we study, research, listen to this one, investigate. As Christians, we should investigate what people are telling us and say, where does that fit in with what I've read? Observation. They claim to be a Christian, but man, that fruit I saw was no good. I wonder what's different about them. Oh, they're a Christian. Okay. I thought there was something special about them. And knowledge comes from experience as well. Now, wisdom is the ability to discern and judge aspects of that knowledge. Let me read that again. Wisdom is the ability to discern and judge what aspects of that knowledge are true, right, lasting, and what's applicable to my life. So as we look at this dream, Solomon did a couple things in the dream. And I want you to listen carefully what all he did. When we go back to verse 3, it said, "And Solomon loved the Lord." Well, that sounds simple enough. He loved the Lord. When we get wisdom, and Solomon humbled himself in that prayer. "God, I don't need long life. I don't need riches. I don't need possessions. Lord, if you give me wisdom and an understanding heart. And he loved the Lord. And Solomon spoke to the Lord. He talked with him. And he prayed to him. Now that sounds simple enough. Our intro video, the last thing he said, be still. And know that I am God. Be still. A lot of times we want to be busy doing and going about. I want to be doing the Lord's work. I want to be going about His people. And every now and then He says, just stop and take a minute, would you? Just sit. Lord, are you going to talk to me? Am I just sitting here? He said, just sit. Be still and be quiet. You see, sometimes there's beauty in that stillness. And He is talking to us in that stillness. Well, He didn't tell me what to do. Well, He did right before that. He said, be still. Be still and be quiet. And Solomon spoke to the Lord and he prayed to the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. And he humbled himself before the Lord. If we read verses 12 through 14 real quick again, it says, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise afterwards or after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for. This is the Lord speaking to Solomon. He says, I have rewarded you. I gave you what you asked for. But you didn't ask for these other things. But I gave you what you asked for, and now I'm giving you more. I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you. Walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, and I will also lengthen your days. Now flip over to James chapter 1, if you would. We'll be in the New Testament the rest of our time together today. And God didn't say, hey, you have to humble yourself before me in this dream. He just came to him in the dream. God said, ask, what shall I give you? Now let's think about this for a minute as we turn to James chapter 1. If God came to us and said, hey, ask it anything you want. What is it? What shall I give to you? When I thought about this, I thought, oh, I've got a list I can start rattling off. Guess that's why He didn't make us king. You know, and Solomon said, man, I've done this. Oh, by the way, Lord, he says, I am a little child. And what that means is just a novice, an inexperienced person, new in the job, doesn't know the full role. You're servant king instead of my father. You've made me servant king instead of my father. I'm a little child and I don't even know how to come in and go out properly. But because he had that humble heart, God says, man, I'm going to give you this wisdom. I'm going to give you an understanding heart so that you can know these things. You ask for yourself understanding to discern justice. Oh God, man, would you open our hearts? Would you open our hearts today just to receive that wisdom? And that knowledge and that understanding. This is what His Word says. Man, do this. And I'm even going to add these things to you. Now in James chapter 1. Treat my Bible carefully. It's on half of this page and half of the rest. It's still stuck together. James chapter 1 verse 5. And he's talking about us, my heading says, profiting from trials. He's letting us know we're going to go through trials and we're going to go through ups and downs and battles. There's ungodly people out there we have to face. And they'll give us trials. Now there's worse news though. You see, there's believers out there that are going to give us a hard time and make us go through trials also. But as we study and learn how to be disciples of Christ and follow Him and learn His teaching and understand it and then start applying that, well, that's where transformation comes from. So He tells us here in verse 2 of James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Nope. Matter of fact, when we do our Advent stuff, Lori, when I put that joy banner up here, can I just toss that thing face down so we don't have to look at it? Because it's hard in various trials to consider it all joy. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? But he says, consider it or count it all joy. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience, part of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, okay. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My wife will wave a big flag saying, oh, Adam needs some patience here and there. Been working on it. Still struggle with it. Don't know that I've counted it all joy when I come up against a situation, though. But it says in verse 5, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. So if I'm looking for wisdom, God, you're telling me all I have to do is ask you? Now remember, He's not a genie in a lamp that we just say, God, give me this. What shall you ask for that I may give you this? And Solomon said this great thing. And we go, well, if you give me a new car, Lord, pay off my house, give me a new house, whatever. Lord, I'll take some workers to take care of that house. Oh, let me win that lotto. Did anyone win that lotto, by the way? The Mega Millions, whatever? Lord, he heard about that thing. Whew, okay. All right, Lord, I just pray that if someone wins it, and they have to win it, Lord, that they be in this church. They be an obedient member of this church. Oh, thank you. I love the amen over there. Yes. But he says, man, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Why are we going to God? Well, God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But listen to this. There's a little follow-up because we can take this and say, all I've got to do is ask for wisdom. His word said. Yeah, there's a little bit more. You see, in my disconnected page, it says, but let him ask in what? Let him ask in faith. With no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We're going to be talking next week on our anniversary Sunday about who we are and what we stand for. And what we do with that stuff. I want you to think about this verse next week when we talk about it, being double-minded if he doubts. And I think about the story where the young man goes to Jesus and says, man, heal my son. He said, believe. Do you believe? And the guy said, I believe. And then he followed up and said, help my what? Unbelief. But I love that he cried out to God and said that. I believe, but God, would you help my unbelief? So where we have that today, man, let's work on that. And he says, go to God. Now flip over a couple pages possibly to James chapter 3. And now we talk about some different types of wisdom. And I want us to look at wisdom here. And we get it through humility and by asking. But it says in James chapter 3 verse 13. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So these scriptures tell us there's two types of wisdom. Really, I'd like to say there's two types, the asked for and the unasked for, but it tells us there's two types of wisdom. The first one, it says, there's earthly or demonic wisdom that comes from the flesh, if you will, from the earth. And the second one is heavenly. And it gives us the description of what each one of those are. The wisdom that is not from above, the earthly or demonic one, it says it's sensual, it's demonic, it's earthly. And it says confusion and every evil thing are there. Remember, a lot of times we have problems and who's the first person we go to, or where's the first place we turn? Our friends. Oh, let me get on Facebook and see what Facebook is telling us. Let me Google this and find out what Google tells me and how to deal with the situation. Lordy, that could be rough. Watch a Hallmark movie. Well, I don't know what that... Well, you need to leave him. You need to leave her. You need to just go... Oh, good grief. Okay, why do we lean on each other for that? And when I say each other, it's good to lean on each other, because I tell us a lot, lean on each other and help each other out. Well, sure, where there's a godly wisdom and where there's discernment, that's great. Let's go. And I'm talking about people that are maybe less connected to church. But the wisdom that is from above, in verse 17, it says it's pure. That wisdom is pure. And a lot of times we don't want to hear that wisdom, because he may say, you need to go back and face whatever. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. He may say, oh, I'm going to give you wisdom. You need to go and serve here. Remember Jonah? Okay, Lord, you want me over there? I'm going that way. We just waste time when we do that, I can tell you. Spinning wheels for 20-some years before landing back in church. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. I love this one. Willing to yield. We talked about that, it's probably been several Wednesdays back in our Bible study. It says those people that care for other people's needs above their own. Willing to yield. That wisdom is found in that. Full of mercy. And I love this. Full of what kind of fruit? Good. Full of good fruit. It actually says good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. And it says the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's earthly and demonic wisdom, that's one thing. And there's heavenly wisdom. And God says, man, whoever doesn't have it, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Well, how does this affect me, Adam? How can I put this into application for my life? Humility is where it starts. Now the Proverbs is full of things to talk about wisdom. And it says, the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it goes through a lot of things. And I thought, well, I could go through tons of scripture and just talk about wisdom. But I wanted to read those things that said Solomon had opportunity to pray for anything in his dream. God said, what do you want? Just list it out and I'll do it. And through humility, he started out and said, man, Lord, if you can give me some wisdom so that I could, you know, discern things properly. I mean, I'm a king. I'm a new guy. Well, what new king says, I'm going to start down here and say, Lord, just give me some wisdom. Lord, give me power. No, he didn't say that. I want some wisdom. I want my heart to be able to discern these things properly. So how do we apply it? Man, we come before the Lord humbly. And we ask him for wisdom. I'm not talking about smarts. I'm not talking about a book knowledge thing. I'm talking about the wisdom that Solomon asked for. That wisdom that, again, helps him discern things. So we have to humble ourselves. And it's hard to really ask God for things properly, if you allow me to use that term, without being humble. And we ask those things in faith also, because it says, ask in faith. If not, you're double-minded. And I get the feeling that really what he's saying, he says, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all things. And I get the feeling that that's really just another way of saying, they're pretty wishy-washy. Kind of reminds me of the lukewarm church. And what did God want to do with the lukewarm church? Spit it out of the mouth. And I think those people, God says, I don't really have good use for them. You see, I need them to be all in. As we prepare to pray today, I want you to think about where you need that wisdom. God, I want wisdom, but where do I need that in my life? How, when can I apply for that? Or how can I apply that to my life? You see, God, I get that you blessed Solomon with great riches and honor. And you gave him extra on top of what he didn't ask for, based on his humility. And I've said it before many times, I feel the Lord blesses his people. But could you imagine if we humbled ourselves, submitted ourselves to him? He may say, oh, Lord, there they go. Now let me open up. And now let, you know, it sprinkles every now and then. Jim, you've got a rain gauge. Sometimes you look and think, well, that barely left any mountain there, but I know it sprinkled. Isn't going to do much. And then there are other times like, that thing's full. And God says, now, rather than just sprinkling those blessings that you think, oh, I'm blessed. I've got this. It's okay. God says, hang on, because I'm getting ready to pour out on you. Because you have finally humbled yourself and submitted yourself to me. Not to me, Adam. I'm talking the Lord. God is saying, you've humbled and submitted yourself to me. Now I can use you. Now I can pour out my blessings on you. Because now you have a heart that can use those properly. We talked in our Bible study a couple weeks ago about me losing my job. And it wasn't until I sat there going, oh my Lord. I feel God said, you got to lose your job and your pride. Why? Because I can't use you in ministry, Adam, while you're a prideful man. And you need a little season outside of that success that you've had. That was quite the realization. That I felt God said, oh, can't use him right now the way he is. I've got to break him a little. Those in the military, God can't use you, real prideful, getting off that bus. No, no, they've got to break you down a little bit. And then they can reshape you and mold you the way you need to be. And God says, man, I've got this plan for you. If you just submit to me, we can do this together. But until you do, man, I'm still right here beside you. I'm just waiting on you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word today. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for the story of Solomon and the example you gave us in a man who has humbled himself to ask a great thing in a position of such great power. And that was simply for wisdom, that he could rule rightly before you and before his people. God, today we pray that those in need of wisdom would call out to you. They would humble themselves. But as you give it, they would learn how to use that, where and when to apply it. Lord, I pray today that you make your people hungry for your word, hungry for time with you, and hungry for time with one another. Lord, would you draw us closer to each other and closer to you through that thirst for knowledge. Lord, help us this week as we go out that you would guide our paths, our actions towards one another. That you would guide and bridle our tongues and the things we speak to those we know and don't know. To those closest to us and those furthest from us, Lord. That you would give us a tongue that is reflective of your love, your peace, and your kindness, and your gentleness. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with as we go out this week as well. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.